The first reading is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stories to raise up from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people.
We were taught in seminary that how one begins a sermon matters. It sort of sets the tone. It builds a bridge between the preacher and the congregation. It sets the mood, the spirit. Some preachers begin their sermons with sort of a liturgical formula, saying something like, grace to you and peace from God your creator and from the Lord Jesus Christ, to which the traditional congregation might say, Amen. Some begin by saying, in fact, this is how Ananda began last Sunday, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart," or of all of our hearts, "be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer." We'd feel right at home with that one, wouldn't we? And some begin by gently saying, "The peace of God be with you," to which you would respond, "Excellent." So what is up with John the Baptist? He greeted his congregation this way, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath that is to come?" Now, this is not an opener that's recommended by the professionals, but it does wake one up, doesn't it? It does get our attention. But really, who wants to be yelled at by John the Baptist so close to Christmas? One guy wrote an article about John's opener in this passage in Luke, which he entitled, "Never Call Them Jerks." He admitted that for him, when preaching on this text, he was at times tempted to add a personal aside, saying, "You brood of vipers, and you know who you are." No, no one is eager to be chastised by the wild prophet who was called to prepare the way of the Lord this close to Christmas. Advent is supposed to be a peaceful time, a time of waiting, a time of patience. But dear friends, I'm afraid that there is no getting to the sweet baby Jesus in the manger without first hearing his cousin John prepare the way. So here we are with this unlikely Advent text given to us each year by the wise ones who set the lectionary readings. Happy third Sunday in Advent. William Sloan Coffin rightly said that no one would accuse John of having a sunny personality, and he would hardly be the head of your list to invite people to a Christmas party. He was not a fun guy. He was sort of a narrow guy, and he was single-minded. He was so driven by a vision of moral righteousness that he simply did not have the time to be a well-rounded person. He was truly the one crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way. And people flocked to him. Knowing his reputation, still crowds came by the basketful to be baptized by him and to take what he had to give. Who were these people? And why did they come? And why did they stay? And how were they changed? Were they expecting to be called a brood of vipers and told that there's wrath to come? Maybe they came knowing that they were in dire need of repentance and of redemption. See, Matthew tells this story too, but in Matthew's telling, John is speaking to a crowd of religious elites. But Luke is always more universal. And so in his telling, the crowd is a mix of people, sort of regular folks, but then tax collectors and soldiers were among them. You know, tax collectors were notorious. They made their profits by soaking their neighbors on behalf of Rome and then the provincial governors and then finally on their own behalf as well. The soldiers were likely not the guys from Rome wearing uniforms, but they were mercenaries. They were thugs who earned their wages by extortion and by threat. So when you think about it, this crowd very likely could have been a gathering of very guilty consciences. It could be that they streamed to John because they knew deep, deep in their souls that they did need to repent, to change, to turn around and to start again. And for John, as for all biblical writers, repentance was not an abstraction. It was not just an interior change of heart. To repent literally is to make a U-turn, to go in an entirely different direction. So upon hearing the Baptist sermon, the crowd, the tax collectors, and the soldiers, according to Luke anyway, said as if in unison, in one voice, they said, "Then what are we to do? What are we to do?" What an excellent question, and one that we might even ask ourselves during this season of waiting, of preparation, of anticipation for the birth of the reign of God made tangible in the birth of Jesus. What are we to do? Well, here's how John answered the question. What are we to do? Share. Keep no more than you need. Be fair. Treat others with care. Be honest. Make unselfish decisions. Live within your means. Do what is just. The biblical answer to the question, what are we to do, is never, never in the abstract, any more than our lives leading up to the need for a change, this U-turn, has been in the abstract. In line with the Hebrew prophets of old and of his cousin Jesus, for whom he prepared the way, John simply said, focus on everyday life, in which the everyday networks of relationship might be touched by an ethical vision that makes our conversion visible precisely in the everydayness of life. What shall we do? Consider your closet, he says. Consider your cupboard. Consider the chairs at your table. Consider the money in your bank. Consider the people that you pass on the street. This is the word of God this particular Sunday in our liturgical year, according to our lectionary, the third Sunday in Advent, also known as Brood of Vipers Sunday. It is a call for us to participate ourselves in preparing the way by walking the way, knowing that the coming of Jesus affects every dimension of our lives, including how we regard others, including our ethical obligations to our community and to our world. The way of God, the way that John prepared, is less likely to show up in grand actions, but rather in simple acts. Sharing what we have, being honest in our dealings, and being generous in spirit. This is how we do our part in ushering in the kingdom, and it is entirely within our reach. Is it ironic, or was he sarcastic with the way that Luke ended this little Advent story with the words, "So, with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people." Huh? Take a look again at how John presented his case, how he delivered his sermon. This is good news? Well, here's one take. Think about any time you've made an exhortation. You exhort when you know that the exhortee shares your deepest values, right? Exhortations call those being exhorted back into the memory and into the knowledge of what they most deeply believe and who they most certainly are. They are called to rise to the occasion by being who they most deeply and essentially are. And when you hear that, it can be kind of reassuring and kind of comforting. It can be good news. The other New Testament lectionary reading for today is a relief after having been associated with a brood of vipers. I saved it to read here at the end because it gently reminds us of the many specific ways that we can prepare the way and turn things around daily, pointing our sometimes lesser light to the true light that illumines the world. It's from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen, and the God of peace will be with you. What are we to do? Change the world one day at a time. What are we to do? Change the world one act of generosity and grace at a time. What are we to do? Change the world one human interaction at a time. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen.